Welcome to our evening service for the Victory Baptist Church live stream. We are so glad that you've gone ahead and logged on. John and I are working on having the services ready for you to minister to you and your family. I know that he has already worked on songs. Both him and Ashley have come down and played on the piano or played on the guitar, sang together, so that you and I still put together a worship service for all of us to enjoy with each other. As we go into this evening service, I just want to really remind you that we are in this together. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are experiencing the exact same thing you are. And that struggle requires us all to pray for one another. Especially want to be in prayer for these families with small children. Trying to go ahead and balance all of that at home, take care of everything, still not go out unless it's essential, all of those things, it's stressful. And then also our senior citizens who are, you know, they're home alone. Maybe they're a widow or a widower and they have nobody else. Pray for them. Reach out to them. Try to encourage them. And if you're the one in that situation, reach out to others so that you're not alone. I know that you could start to feel very isolated. Don't allow that to happen. Remember, your brothers and sisters in Christ love you. They care about you. They want to be there to help minister to you. You know, it's very true when the Bible says that if you want to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. Step out, make a call, reach out to somebody. Let them know that you need to chat with a brother or a sister in Christ. Now, as far as announcements go, I want to remind you that Monday morning, we are going to be starting the food shelf in the fellowship hall. So if there's a family in our church that maybe you've been laid off, you haven't gotten a check yet, you're worried about some groceries, we do have some groceries. Call the church. We're really not supposed to be letting people come into the building. What we're actually going to do is have you kind of check off on a sheet. We're going to give you a sheet with the things we have and let you check off what you want. We'll put it together in a bag. We'll bring it out to you. That way we don't have folks coming into the building and going out of the building. And then also because we do have the essential workers' children that are in the preschool area, they would just assume that we don't have other people coming in and out because of the coronavirus. So work with us. We want to minister to you. We want to do our part to help you, help our church families in any way we can. Don't hesitate to call and let us know. All right, I'm going to turn it back over to Brother John and Ashley, and they're going to sing for you Victory in Jesus, and Here I Am to Worship.
Amen.
Service. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can come together wherever it may be that we are. I just pray that it would be your Holy Spirit that ministers to us, speaks to us through your word. Help us, Lord, to be absolutely a people who stay united, gathered together in faith around you. I do pray for all the families in our church. All of their circumstances are different. They're all of different financial situations and age situations. Lord, you know every single one of them. Last night, as you woke me up in the middle of the night, Lord, and we just talked about all these families in prayer, I just pray that you would continue to minister to them according to your will. Help them to sense and know your presence. Please be with our worship time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So as we continue with our service, obviously we're not going to pass out offering plates. I'm in a room here all by myself, and so that would not accomplish much. But if you do want to give, you can give online, certainly. We are grateful for the folks who are continuing to support the church as we continue to pay salaries and keep the ministry going the best we can. Thank you very much for helping out. All right. I know that Brother John and Hillary, they have got, not Hillary, Ashley. I don't know why I keep making this association, because both Ashley and Hillary were our backup singing team with John before they brought it to where everybody needed to stay home. And I'm so grateful for all of those that have tried to help us. Things change. It almost seems like daily they're changing, and we're trying to keep up and do things right. We're very thankful for everybody that's helping us to be able to do that. But it's Ashley and John who are getting ready to sing with you Blessed Assurance and also All I Have is Christ.
This is my soul.
I hope that even at home, maybe you're able to sing along. I'm certainly hoping that it's a blessing to you. We're live streaming the whole service because we want you to feel like you are part of worship, part of church. But I am going to bring you now to the message part of our service this evening. And we're going to go to 1 John chapter 5. And I'm going to read to you verses 11 through 15. Title of my message tonight is Connecting to God in Prayer. Now, I personally believe a really important part of getting through these circumstances, no matter what your circumstances is, much of it we're sharing, but every individual life and every individual home is having to deal with this in their own unique way. One really important element of this is prayer. I know that I need to be a prayer warrior. Sandra Jo, my wife, needs to be a prayer warrior. You need to be a prayer warrior. We need to reach out and connect with the Lord in prayer. Last night, about 4:30 in the morning, the Lord woke me up, and I just could not go back to sleep. And I just started to pray. Actually, alphabetically, I started going down through our church families and praying for each family, starting down from A and working down through B and working down through. I kind of concluded it with Zizalinsky, Mitch Zizalinsky. Prayed for you last night in the middle of the night. But prayer is an essential part of getting through difficult times, unsettling times, worrisome times. That's where we lay aside our worries, and that's where we lay aside our fears, and we rest in Him. Because remember, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 teaches us God's not given us the spirit of fear, but instead He's given us that power, that love, that sound mind, that we might honor Him and work with Him, walk with Him. So this evening, I'm going to preach to you about prayer, connecting to God in prayer, 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 on down through 15. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. So as we look at this text, what I actually want to do is take you down through it and show you that we can systematically connect with God as He has shown us in His Word. I started you with verse 11 there, and verses 11, 12, and 13 really bring us face to face with the critical issue of our eternal salvation. And why do I start there? Because if you are born again, if you've received Christ into your heart and life, and you are a child of God, God wants to hear from you. I've told you before that my very first job out of college, I was an assistant pastor of a church in Virginia, just outside of that Portsmouth, Virginia area, the Chesapeake Bay area, lots of Navy personnel. And my job at the church was single adults. And so I started tapping into those young Navy guys. And of course, Navy guys brought young women. And we built a class of all these young people. One of the things these Navy guys told me, and I was never in the Navy, I don't know whether it's true, but this is what they told me. They said that if they didn't write home and their parents wrote the Navy or called the Navy, that they would get chewed out by their superior. Well, you know what? That's because our parents want to hear from us. And so one of the young men, he said his mother actually called, got a hold of some powerful person who went through the chain of command until he got chewed out in a real way for not reaching out to his parents often enough. God wants to hear from us. He is our Heavenly Father. And so you and I, it starts with that relationship. Have you come to Christ? Do you know Him as your Savior? Look again with me at verse 11. It says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself." Christ dwells within us and witnesses within us of His presence. It says, as you continue down through in that verse 10, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar," called God a liar, "because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son." You and I, by faith, we've put our trust in Christ. We've got a connection with him. Listen to verse 11. "And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son." God the Father desires to give you and I eternal life that can only be had by putting our faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." He wanted you and I to understand God the Father wants to give you and I salvation through his sacrifice, the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's what makes him our Father, who wants to hear from us in prayer, is by putting our faith in Jesus. Look, as we come down a little bit farther in verse 11, I'll read it to you again. "And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life." You and I pass from death unto life, spiritually, born again, becoming children of God. That's what connects us with the Lord in prayer. Listen again as I move on in verse 12. It says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." He's saying to you and I that if we do not receive Christ as our Savior, we do not have eternal life. We don't have that spark, that renewal, that regeneration, being born again in Christ. We don't have a relationship with the Father that connects us in prayer. Oh, please, if you've not received Christ as your Savior, tonight, right now, call upon the Lord that you might know him, that you might have life. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." That's security right there. He says, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, if you've believed upon him, he says, you know that you have eternal life. He has given you an eternal promise. So when we launch into talking and preaching and searching the scriptures about prayer, it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. As we accept the gift God gave us through Christ of eternal life, of salvation, it connects us to God that we might have a genuine prayer life with him. So that brings us down to verse 14 in our text of 1 John chapter 5. Listen to what he says. We've dealt with the eternal issue, becoming a child of God, so that our Heavenly Father and we can have a prayer life. Listen to what he goes on to say in verse 14. He says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So I want you to notice in verse 14, he starts with that statement that you and I need to have confidence in him. It says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him." You and I coming before God with confidence concerning his spiritual work in our life. You know, it's interesting, prayer taps into faith, doesn't it? Well, the definition of faith is given to us in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." See, people sometimes get mixed up and confused about faith. Faith is not what you see and touch. You know, people say to you, "Well, I'll believe in God when I can see him." Well, that's not faith. "Well, I'll believe in God when he does this and this and this for me." Well, that's not faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's when we believe within our hearts and souls and we connect with God by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So when we look into the Word of God and we start talking about having faith and communicating and praying with God, we understand that, listen, it's impossible to please God, according to Hebrews 11, 6, if we do not have faith in him. We need to understand that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, according to that text. So you and I, when we come to seek him in prayer, we understand that he is, and we rest in him and believe in him and trust in him. Sure, we can't see God, but we sense and know his presence. He works in our hearts and our souls and in our lives. Even as the wind blows a leaf through the air, you can't see that wind, but you know it's there. So also God in our hearts and lives, working every day in many different ways, even in the midst of this whole coronavirus thing, we see God at work. Romans chapter 14, verse 23 says, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. What does that mean? It means that when God looks at our hearts and he looks at our lives, he sees us and he looks at the way we live. And he says, when we disregard him, when we remove from our daily life simple faith, we are living a life of sin. We should be a people who are walking and living in faith every day, believing and trusting that God is walking with us, guiding us and enabling us, helping us in all the ways that he so faithfully does. So when we look at this text here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, and it starts out by saying to us that we have confidence in him. That confidence is by faith. We believe God. That's confidence. As we come a little bit farther down into verse 14, listen to what he says. For this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So did you notice he referenced God's will? Did you hear him say in that verse, if we ask anything according to his will? That's part of having a good prayer life, is understanding that as we talk to him, we're talking to him as in tune with him, according to his will. And in any relationship, that makes sense, doesn't it? You know, when you come home from work, and you start talking to your spouse about what you've done that day, if you talk about technicalities and technical things that are so outside the scope of their understanding, it's not long and they kind of just glaze over. Now, they might love you enough to listen, but they're not really hearing you. But when you tap into who they are, and you talk about things that relate to them and you together, then all of a sudden you see them perk up. Well, God is saying, you know what? When we pray to him, he says we should be praying according to his will. Well, how do we know God's will? Well, we have to go ahead and look in his word. We need to have a relationship with him in a daily way. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished in all good works. You see, we learn God's will by going to God's word, according to 2 Timothy 3:16. We start to learn about his doctrine. He uses it to correct us and reproof us in our lives. He uses his word to instruct us in righteousness. Why? So that you and I, as men and women of God, might be perfected and we might know and walk in the will of God. So when he talks about our prayer life, it's connected to our Bible life, Are we spending time in His Word that we might know Him and how to communicate with Him? 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You see, God wants us to search and know His Word, that it might be such a part of our hearts and our souls that when we go to Him in prayer, we're in tune with Him, we're in line with Him, so that the things we ask of Him are according to His will. It's about having that kind of personal relationship with God. Also, we need to go ahead and allow the Holy Spirit to do His work in us as well. You see, that's part of knowing the will of God, is allowing the Spirit of God to minister to our hearts and souls. John 14:26 says, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking to us, teaching us. He says, "The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." Did you hear that? So the Holy Spirit has been sent by our Lord Jesus Christ, called the Comforter, and He's been sent in the name of our Lord by the Heavenly Father to do what? To teach us and to bring things to our remembrance so that we might have a right relationship with Him, including in our prayer life, because we're talking about prayer tonight. We're talking about connecting with God during this time. And part of that is allowing the Holy Spirit to do that work within us. You know, John 14:26 tells us that it is the Holy Spirit that brings to our remembrance the things that we have learned, even in our prayer life. Allowing the Holy Spirit to link us to God, to His Word. John 16, verses 7 and 8 say, "When the Spirit comes, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." You see, that's part of our prayer life too, is coming before God and saying, "Lord, Your Spirit has convicted my heart of some sin. You've reproved me. You've corrected me. You've shown me that I need to become more righteous." That's part of prayer. So each of us, as we go through this separation time, this time where we are doing social separation so the coronavirus slows down and doesn't spread so much, this is a great time to connect with God. For you and I to hear His Word in our hearts and our souls through the Holy Spirit. For you and I to pray to Him and talk to Him about those things that He has touched us with. John 16, verse 13 says, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth." You see, when we're praying and talking to God and we're asking for His direction, it's His Holy Spirit that's going to guide us. He's going to guide us in all truth. That's what John 16, verse 13 says, and I believe God's word. I've seen it work throughout the generations. I've seen it as I read back all the way from Adam and Eve up through Abraham, all the way up through until we come to the life of the apostles, the writings of the epistles, and then I see it practically in daily life and ministering to our church. I see God's truth work in and through us as the Holy Spirit does His work. So you, at this very time in your life, you need to make sure your prayer life is strong. Look with me again at our text there in 1 John chapter 5. We come to verse 14, and I want to share with you our last point. Listen to verse 14 again. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." So, my last point is, when we ask, He hears. When we ask, He hears. We have confidence in that. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 and 8 say, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. God could not drive that point home any clearer than he does right there in those two verses. He makes it clear that when we knock, he hears. When we come and we call out to him, he hears. He says, we shall find him. You know, when you come to the book of Revelation, Christ himself says, I stand at your door and knock. Your heart's door. I stand there and I knock. He wants us to hear him. He wants to hear us. It's a relationship. During this time, your prayer life needs to get honed and shined and polished and made the best that it absolutely possibly can be. It is a time for you and I to connect with God in prayer. Let's go ahead and close in prayer at this time. Father in heaven, I do thank you for the many promises in your word about prayer. And Lord, we come before you with great confidence, knowing that when we call out, you do hear. Why? Not because we're so good, but because you are God. And you've promised that if we would receive Christ as our Savior, that we would be your children. And as our Heavenly Father, you want to hear from us. And Lord, at this very day, this very moment, we lift our hearts up to you and ask that you would be with our national leaders, be with our scientists, our chemists, our biologists throughout the country who are trying to find a remedy for this COVID-19. I pray, Lord, that you would help them to discover that cure, that vaccine that will make this not the problem that it is now. We thank you, Lord, that in our country we have seen a relatively small amount of people die from this. Help us to be wise in preventing just a further epidemic of this COVID-19. But help us rather, Lord, to rest in you, find in you peace and strength. And we're just asking you, as the great physician, to bring this to a close so that we can come back to a sense of normalcy in our homes, on our jobs, in our church, throughout our communities. We rest in you, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.